All right. Today we're up to the bottom of Yudamud Bays in Yaakov, the bottom line. I'm Rabbi Yechanan. I have to apologize about yesterday. I accidentally misquoted a pirush. I said that about I said about destroy them. I said the pirush I gave was that. When they become part of the, when they're given a public service, and they're put into public service, then they'll become like the other Zekanim and have Nevuah only through Moshe Rabbeinu, as the other Zekanim did. I said that in the name of the Ben Yehuda, it was in the name of Rabbeinu Snaivshitz, actually. Correction for that. So for today, we're discussing the halachas about the Sanhedrin. Specifically, we're discussing who can be appointed to the Sanhedrin. What's needed to be a member of the Sanhedrin? So Amar Rabbi Yechanan says, "Ein meishevim mit Sanhedrin in elabali kaimba uvali achma uvali mara uvali zikna uvali kshafim." You aren't appointed to the Sanhedrin. In someone, unless he's someone tall, so someone with stature, like a commander sect, someone unsmart, not just in the Torah knowledge, but in worldly matters as well, someone who looks good, someone who looks nice, someone old, an elder. Uvalik Ekshatim is someone who knows magic, because one of the things that Mr. Bateson executes for is someone who performs magic. So you have to know which magic is which, because there's different executions for Makshefa versus Ivan Yudaini. So, so you know, they have to know what exactly what is magic, or they also have to know, like, maybe it's just a magic trick, that it's not actual magic. So they have to know all the different details in order to be able to punish someone who's, in order to be able to punish a witch. And they also have to know all 70 languages. So a Beis Din doesn't have to hear their testimony through a translator. Because the Pasuk says that they have to hear the testimony. And Mishamu Azkenim, they have to hear it. Not that they hear it through someone else, they have to hear it themselves and understand it themselves. Note that when it says all these requirements, these are not all absolute requirements. They're what's preferred in looking for someone. Notably, for example, Rabbi Yeshua, who was the Av Beis Din in his times, Gemara says that he was particularly ugly, like to the point where one time when he was by the Caesar for defending Jews, the Caesar. The Caesar's daughter came to him and asked him, "You're so wise. Why are you so ugly?" He answered, "Often you'll find that good stuff come in simple, plainness, or even ugly-looking vessels. For example," he told her, "your wine, and why you have it in earthenware containers? Or is you're the daughter of a king? You should have it in gold containers." She thought it over and thought, "Hey, yeah, that's a good question. We should put it in gold containers." And she did that.
Wasn't it silver?
Gold and silver, says Kasefazov. It says both. She did that. And of course, wine did what wine does when wine is stored improperly. and the wine became vinegar. The king was not very happy about that, Caesar, so he yelled at his daughter, who in turn earned Snitchan Rabbi Shua. And Rabbi Shua explained, I didn't tell her to do that. I told her that good things come in ugly vessels. And an example I gave was this. So the king asked him, and I've seen in plenty of handsome people who are wise. Rabbi Shua told him, if they were ugly, they'd be even wiser. The point being that one of these qualifications is ubali marda, people who look beautiful. Rabbi Shua clearly had to not look exactly the most beautiful for the Caesar's daughter to be commenting that, considering that she the Caesar's daughter. So, clearly, these are not actual requirements. These are more preference. And in fact, the final thing that's listed over here, that they know 70 languages, soon in the Gemara, we see that it's not even all the members of the Sanhedrin that need that. It's just some of them.
All 70, or all together, they know all the languages?
That each of them know all 70 languages. Not that some of them know some of them know the others. Though, very likely that that would be preferable on his, as we'll find later, it doesn't need to be all 70 members of the Sanhedrin that understand all languages. It says that as minimum 3 and 4 is considered a particularly wise Sanhedrin, so the rest of them is probably preferable. It's probably preferable if they know more languages, and if each of them know a handful of languages, that way a good amount of them know more languages. But really, it's minimum of 3, as we'll see later with details. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, Eimer Shivin v'Sanhedrin, Ela Mishe Yedea L'Tayras HaSheretz. Another qualification, someone who knows how to say that HaSheretz is Tahar Min HaTayra, is able to provide proofs from the Tayra that say that HaSheretz is Tahar, in order to be part of Sanhedrin. They have to be that smart, that Eker Hardim, as the Gemara puts it in other places, that they're able to argue what's Tame is Tar. It gives Sheretz, because Sheretz is notably a Chayik, so they don't have to be able to counterprove of an idiot or Mishpatim, but they have to be able to counterprove a Chayik Minotaira. Amar Rav, Rav comments, Ani Adin Vataredu. I could do that. I could make a Kal V'chomer, a din, and say that's Tahar. Uman Nachash Shmemis Mar B'Toma, Tahar. A snake that kills and increases Toma, Tahar, is still El Pure. It's not Tamei, it's not one of the Shmein Shvatim. Sheretz, Shein Mimis Mar B'Toma, a sheretz that doesn't kill people and add tuma, most shvatim don't do that. And in sheitar is not a kal v'chomer that it's tributar. The hava mina is just Rabba's trying to prove that he could do that too. Perhaps he was giving a demonstration to his class and he was doing it, or perhaps he was doing it for his teacher. It doesn't really clarify what it was, but why he's doing it. And I haven't found any mafreshim which explain why he's doing it. He was doing it. Uh, Gemara comments, however, of Loihi, but Rav's Kavachemer isn't the Kavachemer needed to have a Kites Boma. It's the fact that to be comparable, a snake could be comparable to a thorn. Thorns can also cause death. But thorns do not even have a minute to say at their tummy. So the fact that Sharon's tummy it clearly isn't because it brings death, since a lot of stuff can bring death, and there's no reason to say that they'd be tummy. Rather, it's because of some other reason, it's because of tzchik. So the Sanhedrin, members of the Sanhedrin would have to be able to provide. Part of the reason why he's giving this is Kavachemer and this as an upslug is to show that the Sanhedrin not only had to be able to give a Kavachemer, but not only a proof, whatever kind of proof they give, but even be able to defend that proof. That that proof has to be able to stand. A note, by the way, that there's many Chachamim. Particularly, there was a, what was his name? One of the Chachamim, it was reported in his name that he gave a ruling that followed Beit Shammai. And the Chacham went to confront him. It's supposed to be, the halacha like Beit Hillel. It wasn't in him, it was his brother, or who had given that ruling. His brother was Beit Shammai, and his brother knew 36 ways how to prove that Sharis is Tar Minotar. So that brother would be able to be a member of the Sanhedrin. And there's other places where we find that someone's wisdom was described by they're able to prove Minotera different and various numbers of ways that Sharis Tar Minotera. So the Sanhedrin has to be an Eker Harem on that extent. The Rav? For all we know, he had other explanations that they're just not recorded. That this explanation that's given here is to demonstrate that it's not as easy as it looks. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So now another thing that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, in regards to the Sanhedrin, Kol ir she'ein b'shnayim l'daber v'ech l'shmaya, any city that does not have two people who speak all 70 languages and one person who can understand all 70 languages, even if he doesn't speak them fluently. You can't have a Sanhedrin there. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges from Ebraisa, Shlishi is Chachma, if a Sanhedrin and has a third person, has three people, who speak all languages, then is considered a wise Sanhedrin. Vivius ain't lemaile emenu, emena. Four, and there's no greater than that. So, seemingly that means that it'd be E4. My answer is the Huda Marki Haitana. He says, this price is saying that there have to be three people who both speak and understand in order to be considered a Chachma. My answer is Huda Marki Haitana. He says, his opinion is according to the following opinion. The Tanya, that's two is considered a wise one, and three is, in other words, the minimum amount, and three, there's no greater. So it takes two who speak and only one that understands. It has to be minimum three, because it takes three people to do, minimum 3 people to a judge a normal court case, and they have to be able to understand the ADIS, no matter what language it's given in. Notably, interestingly, at least according to one opinion, the name of the person who knew all the people who knew all 7 new languages would be titled Mordechai Bilsho, named after Mordechai, the most famous one who knew all 7 new languages, the most famous member of Sanhedrin who knew all 7 languages. There's a story during the siege in Yerushalayim. There was a war between the two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Both of them wanted to become king. During that war, there was because of the war, there wasn't into anything for the Shealechem. For the Eimer Shealechem. Also, the famine going on at the same time. It was a difficult time. So, there was... What? Two Jews. There were two Jewish kings. The last two Hashemite kings. Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. The two of them, their fight ended up lasting until they called in the Romans. Both sides asked for the Romans' help. The Romans sided with the weaker one. I'm forgetting at the moment which one was the weaker one. And made him king. And that was the beginning of the Churban, once the Romans were in the Eretz Yisrael. And were basically controlling a puppet king. So during this siege, this terrible siege, there wasn't enough grain for the Eimer Shealechem. So it's two different points. At both different points, there was a deaf, mute person who knew the location and was making gestures. He pointed it to he made different motions and they weren't able to understand until they went to the Mordechai Bilshon of their time. The Gemara just said Mordechai Bilshon, who, if it's the same Mordechai Bilshon, then he would have lived all the way from the times of the Purim story until this siege. That's like 400 years. So he had to live even before the Purim story because he was a member of Sanhedrin in the first place of Mikdash. So, between all that, he would have to have lived over 400 years. So explained about Mepharshim that it's a dip. That it was the title Mordechai Bilshon rather than the actual Mordechai Bilshon. So, anyways, he translated that it was Ein Sefer and the Gagasrifim, two towns near Yerushalayim that had wheat. That had wheat / barley.
Sorry.
What?
And was tar.
It was usable for the Eimer Shealechem. And so that year they had, because that Mordechai Bilshon was able to translate. The two gestures were in different languages. Ein and Secher are two different languages, and Gagas and Sirsim are two different languages. So the other Chachamim weren't able to understand what the gestures meant. They were assuming one language, and even if it's... they were assuming different stuff. They just couldn't understand. Mordechai Bilshon thought out of the box, thought maybe he's going in multiple languages, and figured it out. Interestingly, on that note, Seder HaDeiros holds that it was actually the same Mordechai, and that he did live over 400 years. Anyways, that's a side note. That's a side topic. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a new subject. It talks about, throughout Shas, we find different terms for that certain people say, but doesn't say which people. It just says a phrase, like Dan and Bubble, Dan and Estrell, etc. So now here it's going to explain who all those people are. So Lemidim Lefnechamim, Levi Merebi. When the Gemara says anywhere that they learned from the Chamim, it means that Levi learned from Rebbe. Daniel Lefne Chamim, they judged before the Chamim, Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zayman, Vachan and Mitzri, Ivachan Anidim ben Chachinai. Does four before Levi, but it says Levi first in honor of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, author of the Mishnah, he goes first. Revna. Achman Rabbi Yitzchak Akmas Asni, Shimon and the five. The Bavel, Rav Shmuel. When it says our Rabbi Yemin Bavel, it's Rav Shmuel. Rav Sena Shav Eretzel, Rabbi Abba. The Rabbi Yemin Eretzel is Rabbi Abba. Then Egoila Karna. The judge of Bavel is Karna. He was a colleague of Rav Shmuel. Then there's Shal Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. The judge of Shal are Rabbi and Rabbi Asi. Then the Pumbedisa Rabbi Papa Bar Shmuel. The judge of the Pumbedisa referred to Rabbi Papa Bar Shmuel. Then notes down all of these that when saying plural, all these are plural, it means not just these people, but the Chachamim who were under Sanhed, under Beis Din. Rav and Shmuel were leaders of their Beis Din. Their Beis Dins are known after themselves because they were Rav and Shmuel. Then in Ardar, Rav Ada Bar Manyomi. The judges of Ardar refer to Rav Ada Bar Manyomi. Savit Sura, the elders of Sura, Rav Huna, Rav Chista. Savit Pumbedisa, the elders of Pumbedisa, Rav Yehuda, Rav Eina. Charefe de Pumbedisa, the sharp people of Pumbedisa, Efa Vavimi Bine Erechava. Amrei de Pumbedisa, the speakers of Pumbedisa, Rabba Rav Yosef. Amrei de Nada, the speaker of Nada, Rav Chama. Narblai Masnu, when it says the Narblai taught, it means Rami Bar Abrivi. Ami Beira of Huna, Ava Amrav Hana Amibe Rav of Allah Rav Amnona. When it says any of those phrases, they say in Academy of Rav Hana, or but they say in the name of Rav Hana, or they say in the Academy of Rav Allah, then it's Rav Amnona. Amibe Ma'arava Rav Yirmiya. They say in the West means Rav Yirmiya. Shalch Mitam, they sent a message from there, is Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. Machwa Leib Ma'arava, when and says they laughed at a certain message in the West, it's referring to Rabbi Lazar. Ma'ashalchum itam, amel ledibr Rabbi Yosi Ibrahim Chanina. Sorry, it's now a challenge. Ma'ashalchum itam, ledibr Rabbi Yosi Ibrahim Chanina. But we know that Ashalchum itam is Rabbi Yosi Ibrahim Chanina. But it could it really be that the Shalchum Tam is Rabbi Yosi Ibrahim Chanina? A message that we see somewhere in Shas that says they sent from there that according to Rabbi Yosi Ibrahim Chanina, .. So how could it be that they sent from there is Rabbi Yosi Ibrahim Chanina? So El Eifach, as we switch those last two. Shalchum Tam Rabbi Lazar, they sent from there refers to that Rabbi Lazar, And Machol Eben Marava, the last head in the West, refers to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. What? Not necessarily, and is based in most of these it means and is based in certain cases it doesn't necessarily mean and is based in the last about it possibly means is based in possibly not. It doesn't. I didn't really see in the Mefarshim whether it means whether this one specifically is an exception. It just said in general. They refers to them and they're based in. Tanya. It's now a new subject. Kol ir she'en ba'asar dvarim halalu. Any city that does not have the following 10 things. Ein tamen chacham rashai lader b'secha. A tamen chacham should not live there. Is not allowed to live there. The 10 are. Based in makin va'inshin. A Bastin that's able to give punishment. Bastin that has the power to be able to give punishment. To enforce their laws. V'kupa shal tzedaka nigbis b'shnayim v'chalakis b'shleisha. A tzedaka collection that's it's collected by two and divided by three people. As discussed in Bava Basra at length. That's such a kupa the Gabbai Tzedakah are even able to collect security to demand people to give Tzedakah, to require people to give Tzedakah. Uveit HaKnesses and the Shul, Uveit HaMerchot, the bathhouse, Uveit HaKisei, a bathroom, Reife, a doctor, V'oman, And someone and who knows how to do bloodletting, v'lavlar, and a barber, v'tabach in parenthesis, and a butcher, m'lam tenekis, and a teacher. Meshum Rabbi Kiva, af mine pera. It should also have some kinds of fruits. Because fruit, it makes the eyesight better. Fruit are especially nourishing. They help a person, they sustain a person, allowing them to study better. What? A safer? Lavler is a safer, sorry. Correction, I got that wrong. Rashi says safer. Lichtai Sfarim. So all 10 of these are absolutely vital to for Talmid Chacham. Whether for a spiritual health, for physical health, all these are important to be able to live. Tana Rabbanan, the final ice from this parak, Eke ice chaf, v'samta aleim sari alafim sari meis sari chmishim sari asardes. You shall place on them judges over 1,000 people, judges over 100 people, judges over 50 people, judges over 10 people. Sari alafim sheish meis. Sarah Lothim is 600. Sarah Meis is 6,000. Sarah Chemishim, Yud Beis Aleph. Over, the 50 is 12,000. Sarah Sarah is 60,000. In other words, that you shouldn't think that Sarah Lothim means 1,000 judges. It rather means in judges over 1,000. Rather, it means judges over 1,000 people, etc. And Sari Alafa, Sari Meis means judges over 10 people. One judge over 10 people. One judge for every person, for every 10, for every minion. Nimsi, then Yisrael, Shivas Ribba, Shmeres Alafim, Vishesh Meis. Comes out that the Jewish judges are 78,600. Tesis points out that, based on this, is calculation that results in more than one judge for every 10 Jews. Sarasaris is one over every 10, but then there's also Sarachamishim, Sarachalafim. So the first explanation that he gives, the primary explanation he gives, is that the other judges, the higher ranked judges, have to be over 60 years old. Versus the lower ranked judges are allowed to be under 20, over 20 but under 60. The question is, we're saying that there has to be a one judge for every 10 people, but there's 600,000 Jews. So that means that Sarasaris ends up being over less than and one tenth over more. Each one is judging is judged over like 9.5 or something like that. I don't know the exact math. So the answer is the 600,000 that's counted is over 60. Is between 20 and 60. So if the judges are over 60. The number is 603,550, but Shivat Ribai, Shemaris Lotim, 78,600, that's well over, 603. That's well over 3,550. So, that leaves, what's going on with the remaining? So, that's this explanation. That's, yeah. So, let's do the beginning of Perek Sheni. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Nase Eya Habalach, Am Nase Shambalach. The halacha is that one is not allowed to marry a king's in the Almana. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that one, the king is allowed to marry a previous king's widow. You see by David that he married a Shaul's widow. As the Pasuk says, I will give you the house of your king and the house of your master and the wives of your master in your lap. So you see that at least one of David's wives had to be Shaul's, formerly Shaul's wife. We got to see that Adon Yahu, in his rebellion, one of his things that his rebellion was put down, when Shlomo was already king, he asked Shlomo to give him Abishag, the girl who warmed up David. Now, Abishag wasn't actually one of David's wives, so therefore technically he would be allowed to. However, Shlomo understood that he was doing it in order to try to claim like this, that, hey, I'm marrying wife, the quote-unquote wife, the woman who sat in the lap of David HaMelech. That gives me legitimacy. So, and that's why Shlomo executed him. So now the Gemara says Gofa. It's a Baisa from Espresso, and so now it's going to discuss us its more or less. Ein mishiv in Melech B'Sanhedrin, v'lemelech v'chayin gadol b'Ibershana. A king cannot be a member of the Sanhedrin, and neither a king nor a kohen gadol can be included in the calculation to make a leap year. Melech B'Sanhedrin, how do we know that a king can't be in the Sanhedrin? D'chsev leisan al riv. Do not to answer on an argument, and leisan al riv lahates is a full pasuk, but it's stressing on leisan al riv, leisan al rav. Do not to answer someone of particular greatness, of excess greatness, like a king who requires extra respect to the point of Melech Shemalach HaKodeh in Kodeh Mochel. King who gives up his honor, he can't give up his honor. So, you can't answer, or you can't have a king on the Sanhedrin, therefore. Le Melech Lechem Gadol Be'Iber Shana, a king and a Kohen Gadol can't be included in making a leap year. Melech Mishum Aspanya. Melech, a king, because of taxes. Asanya. He has to pay, because of fees. He has to pay his soldiers money. From the treasury. They get paid on the dates that they're supposed to be paid by is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, perhaps the king will to an extent, this is like a bribe, because similar to how a bribe can be even in one's own sharecropper giving him his produce early. Over here, it's a similar kind of thing. He might be bribed by thinking, I can give them their payments a month late. And therefore, improperly be ma'abach early year. And Kengadol is the opposite, Mishram Sina. Because if he intended to say no leap year, because this way, come Tishrei, it'll be a warmer season. This way, when he goes to Mikvah five times, it will be warmer. Everyone knows it's more geschmack to go to Mikvah in warmth than in the cold. Therefore, neither of them could stand on the judgments to do leap year. So, Amar Papa Shmamina Shata Bata Yarcha Azil. We see from this that the year follows the moon. If the year is not a leap year, then the warmth or cold will follow based on it'll depend based on that. Here, Rashi, he put it, Mehad ad ektani ivle, Shadabach, Achai, Yerachim her oyem, Lias, after the months that should be. Basically, if it's a leap year that should have been, but it wasn't, then it will be a warmer by Tishrei, come Tishrei. So, And we'll continue this tomorrow. We're... let's do the Inyan Mashiach Gula. Inyan Mashiach Gula for Lag Baimer. In the times of Mashiach, then it will be Iruach Tama Avim in Aris. I'll take away the spirit of impurity from the world. Chazal say on this, is that it quotes the pasuk Machasiv Ani Arpa from the Hazinu. The division that I made between in the upper and below, that the upper live forever and the lower or die. When Mashiach comes, I'll heal this this division. That there won't need to be this division. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a source for the secrets of Torah. He explains this as a mechitza, and the main revelation will be when the Mashiach comes. As Rashbi, he comes from the a level of a light, of the more complete light, the light of Mashiach. We're up to a new siman in the Atav Shachnarach, the halachas of tzitzis that were made by a guy or by women, and the halachas regarding a bard, a tzitzis. Bard, o talis. So. Sif Aleph, if not to attach a tzitzis to a garment, they're apostle. This is a learned from the pasuk, Ektab El Bnei Yisrael. Of also have tzitzis, speak to children of Israel and tell them that you should make tzitzis. In other words, that the Bnei Yisrael are the ones who should make tzitzis, not a non-Jew.